Name was Aiko.
Chapter 8. Dungeon Dive. Every bone in my body is itching for me to run back to the village and tell Valhelena that Aiko is here. But after a moment of thought, I decide it's going to have to wait. Taking an hour to run back there would only waste time. She'll know by the day's end. We'll be heading back to the village soon enough. Still, as we make our way through the forest toward the mine, I wonder what made Aiko decide to take the leap back to the surface, and also where she's headed. I asked Blacktop before we left, but he didn't know, only that she left while it was still dark, and that meant she'd probably already put a fair bit of distance between us and wherever she was now. From Valhelena's story, there was likely only one place she could be heading, the Vale of Sorrows. The same place we were going once we hit max level. We need to hurry up and level as soon as possible.
That looks like the mine entrance up ahead, Rembrandt says, coming to a halt.
We're still in the forest, but it's hillier now. The mine entrance is an opening the size of a garage door at the base of one such hill, shored up with weather-worn timbers. It's early afternoon, and after the long hike, I'm feeling pretty hungry.
How about a quick rest before we head in there, I suggest.
We make a quick camp and break out some leftover fruit and nuts from breakfast with a bit of cheese. It's simple food, but ironically, it's probably better eating than what I've had in the real world.
Man, what I wouldn't give for a cheeseburger, Gilly groans.
I laugh at the timing and irony of her statement. This stuff probably wasn't better to her.
I'll treat you to one in the tech world,
Rembrandt says, downing a fistful of nuts.
Decent burger joints there.
We share a chuckle, but Blacktop's mention of those Omega things has me feeling ill at ease about crossing that wild zone. Cheeseburgers or not. When we finish eating, I bring up my character sheet and check my gear. Name, Reese. Class, Ninja. Level, 76. Strength, 6 plus 25. Dexterity, 80 plus 5. Agility, 80 plus 5. Intelligence, 4. Mind, 6. Vitality, 16 plus 20. HP, 922 of 922. Stamina, 257 of 257. TP, 154 of 154. I have an attribute point to spend and almost place it into agility before I stop myself. This is the real world. Death is real here, too. If I screw up a dodge, then having a safety net is a necessity now, and I only have 9 levels of points left to spend. I better make them count. I dropped the point into vitality and get another 20 HP. Gilly has the box of scrolls open and is sorting through them.
Any good ones? I ask.
Nothing I can use right away, but yep.
Gilly shows me 3 scrolls.
Holy Fire, level 30. Call Celestial Fire down upon your enemies. Heal 3, level 40. Restores a significant amount of HP to the target based on your mind stat. Great Heal 2, level 45. Restore a moderate amount of HP to your party based on your mind stat.
So how are we doing this? I ask, turning to Rembrandt. I've never really partied with a gun wielder before. Anything I should be mindful of? Rembrandt shrugs.
Just go with the flow, mate. You engage him, I'll kill him. And Gilly can hang back with me.
Okay then, let's do it. We head into the mine, and I encounter our first problem right away. It's kind of dark in here.
Really?
Gilly says.
Looks okay to me.
What about you, Rem? I ask.
I got my shades, mate, he says. I can see crystal clear.
Must be because I'm a half-elf, Gilly says. Think we get a kind of night vision.
Well, this is just great, I say. How am I supposed to see?
Don't you have a light spell or something, Gilly?
Rembrandt asks. She shrugs.
Never needed one in Nazgar. Nowhere was ever truly dark like here. Maybe this will help.
Gilly casts Minor Favor of the Goddess. Our stat bars get a buff, and I begin to glow faintly. I can see a bit better, but not by much.
You sure you don't have another scroll in that box that can help? Do your glowy blades thing? She says. I cast shadow tendrils, and they do indeed add more light, but it's more like a black light, making everything look phosphorescent and creepy.
There you go,
Gilly says with a smile. This is going to be interesting. I take the lead and head down the steep slope of the mine entrance. My skin prickles as tension seizes my chest. What would normally be a romp in a low-level dungeon to get XP has become suddenly terrifying to me. It's like a horror game where I can't see what's coming at me in the darkness. And I hate horror games. I'm in the lead, though, so I can't punk out now. I focus on using my other senses, urging my awareness ability to activate. I then get an idea. If I can barely see them, then maybe we need to give ourselves the same advantage. Guys, group up a second, I say, and then cast Shadow Wall. With a flash of nanodust, we turn transparent, like glass.
Good thinking, Reese, Gilly says in the party chat. But can you still see?
Thankfully, I can. My body is still giving off light, even though it's invisible. I guess because it's not truly invisible, but more some kind of camouflage when in the real world. I guess I can still be seen somewhat, like an eerie light in motion. Still, it's better than nothing. I feel more confident as I scout ahead. Signs of the goblin infestation begin to show up, mainly in the form of smell. It stinks like a dog kennel in here, a kennel that hasn't been cleaned in months. I spot the first group of goblins and focus on one of them to check their strength. Goblin guard, level 25. Not very strong or bright, but can be troublesome in large numbers. No stronger than the ones that attacked the village. There are four of them, and they appear to be fighting over something, snarling in their strange guttural language. I get closer and cast shadow mist to cover them with a purple haze. All four are immediately slowed, poisoned, and paralyzed. I backstab one of them, and he expires instantly. You defeated the goblin guard. You gain 3,000 experience points. Rembrandt takes out two of them in a hail of bullets, while I kill the last with a full round of triple attacks. You defeated the goblin guard. You gain 3,000 experience points. You defeated the goblin guard. You gain 3,000 experience points. You defeated the goblin guard. You gain 3,000 experience points. Gilly gains a level.
Yay!
Gilly shouts.
That was easy.
Too right, Rembrandt says with a laugh. Come on, hurry it up, Reese. Let's clear this pit and get the lady some levels.
I loot the four corpses for Nano and get a fragment from each.
Okay.
I progress with far more confidence through the mines, even in the semi-darkness. We encounter group after group of goblins and dispatch them easily. I aggro them first, Rem mops them up, and Gilly tops up Rembrandt's stamina in between. We explore each and every tunnel, every side turn and switchback, going lower and lower into the depths. The XP for me is only so-so, but for Gilly it's pretty decent, even without the kill chains due to the mobs being too low level compared to Rembrandt and I.
Do you still get XP, Rem?
I ask after the eighth group of goblins and Gilly's fifth level.
Yeah, I'm getting some, he says. After 85 you earn bonus attributes, but they cost a ton of XP. Easier to max out with other classes first.
How many classes do you have?
Gilly asks as she tops Rembrandt up with the second wind.
Two, but this is my main. My other is a negotiator.
What's that do? I ask as we head down a tunnel leading toward what looks like an open chamber ahead.
It's like a merchant, sort of. But you can hire NPCs with it. Strike contracts and then sit back and let your minions do the dirty work for you. Didn't suit my playstyle any. Perhaps when I retire and want to turn into a kingpin, I'll take it back up again.
I laugh at that.
How many times have you been up here anyway, Rem?
Gilly asks.
This will be my third jump.
Were you with my brother for the first two? I ask.
Yeah, he showed me the ropes. An amazing player, your brother.
I chortle.
You honestly wouldn't think that if you knew him in real life.
I do, Rembrandt says.
We meet on the regular. The thing with Max is, he never sees this as playing a game. It's a means to an end for him. He'd rather we do it the old-fashioned way.
I stop at that, and we all come to a halt.
What do you mean?
Something he came across once out here, Rembrandt says.
a legend that told of a mass army from the Shards that nearly overthrew an entire realm. Thousands of Shard warriors, not just one or two who defeated a world boss.
Gilly's eyes go wide. They used to send thousands of people?
Rembrandt shrugs. According to the legend. But that was centuries ago, apparently.
Holy cow, I say. I couldn't even imagine.
The board says it's impossible these days. Too much nano to generate that many bodies.
He then turns to Gilly.
Your father's strategy is quality over quantity. That's why they send us. Only players good enough to defeat a world boss are deemed worthy of the nano.
Gilly pales a little at the mention of her dad.
Sorry, didn't mean to touch on a sore point.
He looks to me.
Your brother thinks the opposite. He believes every man, woman, and child should be out here fighting.
What the heck?
Is he nuts? It's super dangerous out here. Strength in numbers,
Rembrandt shrugs.
It's a moot point anyway. Can't be achieved with the nano we've got left. Still, it's his dream nonetheless.
He really thinks we'd need that many people to bring nano back to Citadel? Gilly asks.
Not for saving Citadel, Gilly. Maxis wants to free us from there. He wants to destroy the safe zones and take them back for humanity.
Destroy them, I say.
It's still a system of control, ain't it? And we're not the ones in charge. Maxis plays the game because those are the rules. But truly, he'd rather humans be able to make their own rules.
I thought we did make them, Gilly says. Didn't humans make the game?
Initially. But we didn't make all of this.
He gestures non-specifically to our surroundings.
The builders did. And who knows if we could even survive out here without our nanobodies.
My stomach feels a bit uneasy about all this.
So you agree with him then?
Rembrandt shrugs.
People like that Blacktop think they've escaped Citadel by living out here in the safe zones. But think about it. Is it really that much different to living in the Shards? At least there, it's a human at the helm. Out here, it's an AI. A builder. That's the true enemy, mate. As comfortable as this place may seem at times, never forget that. The Earth is no longer ours, and we need to take it back.
Holy crap. I think I just learned more about my brother in the last 5 minutes than I have my entire life. I look to Gilly, and she looks back at me, clearly as perplexed as I am.
But that's a goal for later, Rembrandt says with a smile. Right now, we've got a goblin queen to find. Let's crack on, mate.
We resume our trek down the tunnel and eventually arrive at a barricade made from an overturned minecart and a couple of barrels. A faint light glows from behind it, but I can't see much more than that.
This must be it, Gilly says. We've gone down every other tunnel in here. The queen must be behind there.
I bring the quest up on my HUD.
Current quest. Remove the Goblin Horde. Reclaim the Brookrun Mines by defeating the Goblin Queen and her minions. Defeat Goblin Commanders. 5. Defeat Goblin Champion. 1. Complete. Defeat Goblin Queen. Rewards. 100,000 experience. Plus 200 favor with Brookrun Village. Control of Brookrun Mines.
The commanders must be in there with her, I say. And there are 5 of them.
How do we get past that?
Gilly asks, pointing at the barricade. I ponder the same as I step toward it. Maybe there's a way around. As I stoop to try to see past one of the barrels, I hear a vip thunk.
Your awareness increases by 0.3.
Was that an arrow? I hear a sizzling sound. I look at the barrels again and quickly put 2 and 2 together. This is a mine. They blow stuff up in mines.
Guys, run!
I scream as I quickly cast Shadow Copy. And then the world explodes around me. Chapter 9. Goblin Queen.
Your shadow absorbs the attack.
I've never been so happy to see that message appear on my HUD in all my life.
but despite not taking any damage, I'm still disorientated. Choking smoke and flaming debris obscures my vision as the snarl of goblins fills my ears. I sense something about to hit me and pop active dodge, becoming a blur of nanodust. Your awareness increases by 0.4. Skill up. Your awareness is now 39. You dodge the attack. An arrow lands where I stood just a moment ago. I trace its source and see a female goblin standing on a crudely fashioned throne made of sticks and bone. She's slightly bigger than the other goblins, and much like the goblin champion, she looks more akin to an elf. An ugly, hook-nosed elf, but still much better looking than a normal goblin. She wears a loincloth that looks to be made of human skin, and necklaces of teeth cover her bony, bare chest. Upon her head is a witch doctor's hat, made of feathers and twigs. She's also the one with the bow, an elegantly curved weapon that's made of pure ivory. Goblin Queen. Level 80. Highly intelligent, the Queen of Goblins used her skills of trickery and manipulation to gain her position, and her mastery of magic to retain it. Affinity. Dark. I look from her to the tunnel where five more goblins are charging toward me. Goblin Commander. Level 60. With unwavering fealty to their queen, these goblins will not only sacrifice those they command for her sake, but even themselves. Affinity. Dark. Oh crap. This isn't going to be easy. I instinctively look for Gilly, but I can't find her. Gilly? I yell through party chat. Stay back with Rembrandt.
Where are you?
She calls back.
I can't see you.
The goblin commanders are nearly on top of me. I need to gain some distance and get control of the situation. I use retreat, performing a backflip, and then use my spacing to cast Shadow Mist. The commanders run straight into my purple haze and are instantly paralyzed and poisoned. Yes! Gunfire erupts from behind me, and I see one of the commander's HP bars deplete steadily. I don't join in the fight, though. I use the time to buff instead, starting with Shadow Haste, then Shadow Copy, and finally Shadow Tendrils. The commander Rembrandt was attacking falls to the ground, dead. You defeated the goblin commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat goblin commanders, 1 of 5. Gilly gains a level. The rest of the commanders unfreeze, and I draw their attention with a war cry. I go purely defense, dancing on the balls of my feet as I evade their attacks. They swing at me with rusted, curved swords and poke at me with spears. One at a time, they wouldn't be much of a challenge, but taking all four at once in the semi-darkness has my heart pounding. I lose my shadow to another arrow from the queen. Damn, we've got to get to her. Rembrandt works down another goblin commander, while I engage all of them with katana strikes as best I can, keeping them on me. Rembrandt kills one more. You defeated the goblin commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat goblin commanders, 2 of 5. Gilly gains a level. I take a stab in the gut from a spear and cry out as the pain lances through me. The goblin commander hit you for minus 102 damage. Ugh, it's like nothing I've ever experienced before, and the shock of it sends my mind reeling with fear and panic. This isn't the game anymore. This is real. The pain vanishes as a bright white light washes over me. Gilly casts Heal. You recover 102 HP. The goblin commanders all glance her way, but I force their attention with another war cry. On me! I shout. The thought of keeping Gilly safe spurs me on, and I lash out at them with my weapons with newfound fury. I get one of them down to 20% as I dodge a couple more attacks. Rembrandt finishes off the same one I'm fighting with a couple of shots, and then we each take on one of the remaining two and kill them just as quickly. You defeated the goblin commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat goblin commanders, 3 of 5. You defeated the goblin commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat goblin commanders, 4 of 5. Gilly gains a level. You defeated the goblin commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat goblin commanders, 5 of 5. Quest objective completed. Defeat goblin commanders. My heart is still pumping, but I don't have time to rest. To the queen!
I charge forward down the mining tunnel toward the final goblin. Gilly and Rembrandt sprint to catch up with me. The queen sees me coming and leaps with surprising grace onto the high back of her throne of bones. She's a good 15 feet above us now, the perfect vantage to pick us off with her bow. I expect her to take a shot at me, but instead, she lifts her bow into the air and begins to chant. As we enter the throne room, I see that it's a roughly hewn cave about 30 feet wide. I then notice that the queen's bow is glowing in her hand. Uh-oh. This can't be good.
Rethajar,
she shouts in her guttural tongue. I have no idea what she said, but the effect becomes obvious when all 5 fallen commanders behind us rise up from the ground in a cascade of bright light. The Goblin Queen casts Great Miracle. A Goblin Commander is raised. A Goblin Commander is fully restored. A Goblin Commander is raised. A Goblin Commander is fully restored. A Goblin Commander is raised. A Goblin Commander is fully restored. A Goblin Commander is raised. A Goblin Commander is fully restored. A Goblin Commander is raised. A Goblin Commander is fully restored.
Holy crap.
This just got real, mate, Rembrandt cries. It was a bloody trap! Gilly, stay close to me, I shout as the 5 Goblin Commanders, given new life by their queen, begin to head down the tunnel toward us. This isn't good. Sandwiched by the commanders, the queen ready to pick us off, my mind races for the best means of survival, especially for Gilly. Rem, focus on the queen, I shout as I head toward the 5 goblins. I'll kite and tank the commanders. Gilly, keep Rem healed.
What about you? Gilly cries.
Don't worry about me, I cast Shadow Copy. I don't plan on getting hit.
I can't now. I've got to dodge tank this properly. The Goblin Queen is about to send another arrow my way when she's peppered by Rembrandt's pistols. She loses 5% of her health from the volley, screaming violently, then looses her arrow at Rembrandt, which forces the cyberpunker to take evasive maneuvers, flipping backwards to avoid the hit. I open up on the Goblin Commanders with another shadow mist while they're confined in the mouth of the tunnel. The spell lands, and they freeze to a halt. I use their paralysis to shout at them with war cry, and then disappear with Shadow Cloak. I backstab the closest goblin and take him down to 40% health before laying into him with a series of blazing attacks that drop him to 0.
You defeated the Goblin Commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Gilly gains a level.
Wow. At least we get XP for them again, too.
I get a stab into each one of the remaining Goblin Commanders before they unfreeze and then retreat to cast Decoy Shadow. As they clamber toward me, I catch a glimpse of Gilly healing up Rembrandt after he takes an arrow from the Goblin Queen. With his low hit point pool, his health bar was down by a third, and his is bigger than mine. He has the Queen down to 80%, though, and more importantly, he also has her full attention. Good.
Hang in there, Rem, I shout. I'll be done with these commanders in a second.
I focus on the Goblin Commander's combined attacks as they swarm me, dodging and spinning to avoid their weapons. At least they're slowed. I don't think I could pull this off if they weren't. I get a few stabs in on one of them and take him down to 60%. But when I focus on another, I see his HP bar jump to full again. I look up to see the queen casting on him with her glowing white bow.
The Goblin Queen casts Heal 3. The Goblin Commander recovers 432 HP.
Dang it! This could go on forever!
Thankfully, Rembrandt continues his assault on her, preventing her from casting on any more of her commanders. I take a hit in the fray and lose my shadow copy, but use the opportunity to do more damage. I get one of the commanders down to 30% and stop dodging in order to finish him off.
You defeated the Goblin Commander. You gain 10,000 experience points.
3 left. I get hit again, taking a sword chop to the shoulder. I wince, but it's a glancing blow as Decoy Shadow kicks in. I become invisible as the hollow copy of myself crumbles into nanodust. I circle behind the one that hit me and drop him to a third of his health with a backstab, then finish him off with a round of triple attacks.
You defeated the Goblin Commander. You gain 10,000 experience points. Gilly gains a level.
2 left.
Reese, I'm going to help you,
Gilly says in party chat, and I look over to see her reading one of the scrolls. When it disappears from her hands, she raises her wand to cast something.
The spell goes off, and massive, bright white flames explode on top of the goblin commanders.
Gilly casts Holy Fire. Goblin commander takes 750, 500, damage. Goblin commander takes 750, 500, damage.
Their HP drops by a third each. Holy crap! I'm not the only one surprised by the damage, the light-based spell augmented by their affinity to dark. The Goblin Queen immediately turns her bow to Gilly.
Oh no.
Rembrandt pegs the Queen with a headshot that stuns her, but not before her arrow flies. I watch in horror as it sails and strikes Gilly right in the chest.
Gilly!
Her HP drops to a sliver, and she falls to the ground, blood pouring from her wound.
No!
Blind rage consumes me as I scream and charge right for the Queen. I jump into the air and pop charge strike, flying the rest of the way to stun her with my katana. I cry out as I kick her savagely off the throne. Before she even hits the ground, I'm jumping right after her. I drive her through with my blades for a good chunk of damage when I land.
Die!
I shout with hate and anguish in my heart. I stab her a few more times, but the Queen recovers with a snarl, rolling away from me and springing to her feet. I rush at her, screaming savagely.
Die, you witch!
The Goblin Queen uses some move that fires five arrows at me in rapid succession. I dodge all but one, taking the arrow to my thigh, and lose a third of my health. But I don't feel it, or care. My anger is too strong. I carve into her with my blades, landing each and every hit, taking off 3% of her life at a time. The Queen is down to 10%, and I'm focused on bringing that number to zero. So much so that I forget about the two Goblin commanders behind me. One of them pushes a spear into my back, taking another 20% off my life. The pain shocks me into reality. What the heck am I doing? Thankfully, Rembrandt's kept his cool. He switches from the Queen to the commanders and takes out the one who just stabbed me.
You defeated the Goblin Commander. You gained 10,000 experience points. You have gained a level. You are now level 77.
I'm out of stamina,
Rembrandt cries. My stats bounce to full as I'm revitalized from my new level. I look to Gilly. She's still on the ground, unmoving. Her HP is at 11 and is slowly dropping two at a time towards zero. Oh my God, she's going to die. I've got to heal her somehow. Fast. I break off from the Queen and turn behind me to tackle the last commander. Rembrandt had thankfully already gotten him to half. I cry out as I absorb a sword strike to the leg and side, sacrificing myself to kill him as fast as I can.
You defeated the Goblin Commander. You gained 10,000 experience points. Gilly has gained a level.
I've never been so elated to hear the chime of leveling as I am right at that moment. I turn to see Gilly spring back to full health. She sits upright with a gasp and looks about, bewildered.
What just happened?
Had a close call, Rembrandt says. Don't worry. You're okay now?
Relief washes over me and my knees go weak. I can't believe it. Crap, that was close. I look for the Goblin Queen to exact the rest of my revenge. I see her back on top of the throne again. She must have climbed it while we were focused on the commanders.
Gilly, I need a top-up,
Rembrandt says, and his yell must attract the Queen's attention because she shoots an arrow at him. It misses and thunks into the ground at his feet. Gilly casts Second Wind, and right when Rembrandt is about to resume his assault, the arrow explodes. My heart jumps again as both he and Gilly are consumed in a black cloud.
Gilly is blinded. Rembrandt is blinded.
Oh, bollocks!
Rembrandt curses.
Gilly, get this off me, quick!
I expect the Queen to shoot at either me or Gilly next, but instead, she lifts her bow into the air. It begins to glow.
Rethajar!
The commanders begin to raise off the ground.
No.
I can't let that spell complete. I try to charge strike the Queen, but it's still on cooldown. I throw my kunai at her instead. The ninja weapon sails through the air and strikes the Goblin Queen right in the head, taking off 5% of her health. But more importantly, her bow stops glowing and the Goblin commanders fall back to the ground, still dead.
Yes!
Gilly casts Cure Ailment. Rembrandt is no longer blinded.
Good work, Gilly!
Rembrandt shouts as he performs some kind of buff move that makes him glow with an eerie blue light. Rembrandt readies kill shot. The Goblin Queen looks at me and glowers with contempt.
Zeguluth Maguha.
She shoots an arrow at me just as Rembrandt fires his pistol in a single shot. I pop active dodge, and the arrow lands in the ground where I stood a moment ago. A split second later, the queen's head jerks backward with the force of Rembrandt's shot. She's killed instantly. You defeated the Goblin Queen. You gain 15,000 experience points. Quest objective updated. Defeat Goblin Queen, 1 of 1. Congratulations. You have completed the quest, Remove the Goblin Horde. Plus 200 favor, Brookrun Village. Level up. Your favor level in Brookrun Village is now 3. You gain 100,000 experience points. You have gained a level. You are now level 78. Gilly has gained a level. 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 You may now claim Brookrun Mines. Do you wish to claim? Y. N. Holy crap.
We did it!
Gilly shouts, jumping into the air. A smile of elation breaks across my face as I focus on yes. You have claimed Brookrun Mines. And then the arrow at my feet explodes. I lose a third of my hit points as a wave of heat engulfs me in a fireball and the ground collapses beneath me. I tumble downward into pure darkness, flipping and falling as I cry out in shock. The only thing I can hear as I plunge downward is the fading sound of Gilly's panicked scream as she vainly calls my name. Chapter 10. Falling. I fall endlessly, my heart racing as I scramble to grab at walls I can't see. I use sprint and wall run to try to break my fall as my feet briefly touch the mineshaft. I crash into something hard and lose another third of my hit points, pain exploding throughout my body.
Arr!
Light engulfs me, accompanied by the sound of breaking rock as I burst through what I think is the floor. And then I'm falling again, but I can see this time. I'm 100 feet in the air. The world is full of iridescent light. I can't make sense of anything. My heart stops as I flip and scream, plummeting for a second time toward the floor below. Instinct takes over as I struggle to find some way to survive. I catch sight of a large, crystalline pillar close to me and target it using charge strike. My body zooms toward it. My soul kunai slams into the pillar and slides through the crystalline surface as it breaks my fall. A second later, I stop, hanging off the pillar, held in place by my weapon. Thank goodness that worked. I'm still in a daze. My heart races as my body aches. I'm disoriented. I need to focus. What the heck just happened? I get my bearings and start to take in my surroundings. I'm in an enormous underground cavern, I think. The ceiling above me, as well as the floor below, is covered in a crystalline substance that sparkles and glows. In between the ceiling and floor are thick pillars of the same crystal substance. Each one looks a good 30 feet wide and 100 feet tall. I can't count how many of them there are. It's like a forest of trees made of crystal. Soft light emerges from them and illuminates everything without shadow. What is this place? My bones ache as my HP slowly recovers from my fall. But then my hit point bar flashes and I take a point of damage. What the heck? Am I bleeding or something? Internally, perhaps? I check my damage log. You take 354 fire damage. You take 312 fall damage. You take 1 type unknown damage. Type unknown? I look up and see the hole in the ceiling I just made. A patch of darkness next to the top of the column I'm hanging on to. I study the column itself next. I brace against it with my feet, making good use of my ninja boots to take the strain off my arm. I touch the hard surface of the pillar, and a strange message pops up onto my HUD. Node terminal 32AF. Null error 541. What the heck? Okay, this is really getting weird now. I scan my surroundings again, and in the far distance, I see lumbering shadows, maybe a half mile away.
I can't see what they are, but they must be huge. They're close to half the height of a column. Beyond them, I see the outline of something even bigger, as wide as five columns spaced apart and almost touching the ceiling. I can't make out the shape, but it's moving. The thought of something that large being alive drains the blood from my veins. Closer, I see that the other figures, the ones moving about, are roughly humanoid in shape. Their arms swing in a slow gait as they stroll through the crystal forest. I count about a half dozen of them. And then my heart stops when I notice that one of them is standing still, about 100 yards away. And it's staring right at me. My blood turns to ice as the massive being studies me with its lifeless black eyes. Its face is a bone-white skull, and its body is a mass of living shadow. Its jaws come apart, revealing a gaping maw filled with multiple rows of needle-like teeth. Its throat is like a furnace, red and broiling with heat. A shriek emanates from it, the furnace reverberating with a high-pitched wail that makes me want to cover my ears. It grows louder and louder, to the point of scrambling my brains, and then stops. In the deafening silence, the boom of the giant's footfall accompanies the shaking of the column as the thing comes my way. My heart is in my throat. The other ones react to it, heading toward me with wails of their own. I've got to get the heck out of here. Sweat slicks my palms as I struggle to free my kunai from the column. I glance up at the ceiling, and to my horror, I see the crystalline surface regrowing, slowly covering my exit from this nightmare place. I pull with all my strength and manage to free my weapon just as the giant shadow thing gets within arm's reach. I sprint up the column's surface, using wall run, crying out in terror as the opening above gets smaller and smaller. I risk a look behind and see the giant monster crash into some kind of invisible wall. A faint hexagon pattern appears as it does so. I don't have time to process that fact as I dive through the ceiling of the crystal cavern. My body scrapes the edges as I fly through, and I land on the floor of the mine in a heap. A few seconds later, the light disappears as the hole seals itself, leaving me in total darkness once more. My heart is pounding. I can barely catch my breath. I'm breathing so hard it's giving me a headache. What did I just see? What the heck were those things? I don't think it even showed up on my HUD, although, admittedly, I was in too much of a panic to even focus on it. Was that an Omega? It crashed into the wall just like those sentries in the Wild Zone did when we first arrived. Does that mean that down there is part of the Wild too? And what was that enormous thing in the distance? Could it have been a builder? Too many crazy questions plague my mind. For now, I should just be thankful I'm alive. Oh, crap. Gilly and Rembrandt must think I'm dead. I've got to get back to them. I cast shadow tendrils to give me some semblance of light. I'm in the bottom of a mine shaft, but looking at the walls, it appears that I should be able to climb them. But I don't know if I have enough stamina to make it all the way to the top using wall run. I've got to try. I charge at the wall and sprint up it, vertically. I feel myself tiring as my stamina depletes. Oh, crap. I'm just about to run out when I make a desperate jab at the shaft wall with my lone kunai. Thankfully, it holds fast, and I hang from it to catch my breath and replenish my stamina. I repeat the process once more, and finally see light at the top. I run out of the shaft and land on the floor of the Goblin Queen's throne room, gasping for breath.
Reese!
Gilly comes running at me with tears in her eyes. She crashes into me on the floor, sobbing.
Oh my God! I thought you were dead!
I can barely speak as I try to catch my breath.
I'm all right, Gilly.
I'm here.
Thank the stars, mate.
Rembrandt joins us, and I can see that he's visibly relieved as well.
I thought I was going to have to jump down that shaft right after you to spare me from your brother's wrath.
That manages to get us laughing, and relief washes over me. I've never been so happy to be alive and to see my friends. Gilly presses her lips to mine in a soulful kiss that I'm totally not expecting. But I welcome it, nevertheless. When she breaks away, she buries her head in my shoulder.
Please don't ever do that to me again. Ever.
I can understand how she feels.
The anguish of seeing her about to die during the battle nearly killed me as well. This dying for real stuff is crazy. I don't know if I'll ever truly get used to it.
I won't lie. Rembrandt crouches down to look me in the eye. I was scared something wicked, mate. We couldn't reach you with party chat, or PMs. You left the party completely. I didn't know what to think.
Frankly, I don't either. I'm about to tell him what I saw, but then something makes me hold my tongue. Maybe it was that conversation we had with him earlier, about what he and my brother were really fighting for. It's a reminder that although we're all on the same team, I think, we're not exactly aligned when it comes to goals. I'm still not even certain what I saw, or what to make of it. But one thing I do know, if I tell my brother, or even Rembrandt, what I saw down there, there's a good chance they'll change their plans of helping Val Helena to come back here and explore. And I probably couldn't blame them. Heck, I could have just uncovered a pathway to Citadel or something. Still, I need some time to think it through first, or at least to talk it over with Gilly and Val Helena, alone, to see what they think.
I'm just glad I made it back up that shaft, I say with a forced smile. Come on, let's get back to the village. And, maybe we shouldn't mention this to my brother, huh?
You mean the fact that you and Gilly both nearly died under my watch?
Rembrandt laughs as he stands to his feet.
It will be our little secret, mates.
Right, Gilly says. What happens in the mines stays in the mines.
She laughs her joyous, innocent laugh. A laugh that would seem right at home back in the mines of Crystal Shards. But now, the word mine holds a much different connotation for me.
Yeah, I say, as the images of those nightmare things come back into my head.
What happens in the mines stays in the mines.
Chapter 11. Friend or Foe.
I'm almost feeling back to normal by the time we reach Brook Run Village. During the walk back home, we go over the loot from the run, and it lifts my spirits a bit. We nabbed a total of 90 nanofragments from converting all the goblin corpses, and a bunch of spears and rapiers in fairly good condition. But the best were the awesome drops from the Queen. I check them out on my HUD log.
You convert the Goblin Queen's corpse. You find 20 nano-shards. You find a Scroll of Great Miracle, rare. You find a Goblin Queen's spell bow, rare. You find a Goblin Queen's necklace, rare.
It's all level 80 mage gear and totally fit for Gilly. I take a closer look at each one.
Scroll of Great Miracle. Teaches the celestial magic spell, Great Miracle, level 80. Revive all defeated party members and restore them to full health. Cast time, 15 seconds. Recast, 3 minutes. Cost, 600 TP. Goblin Queen's Spellbow, rare. Plus 20 dexterity, plus 30 mind, plus 200 TP. Goblin Queen's Necklace, rare. Plus 20 mind. Plus 100 TP.
You got some good drops, Gilly, I say, smiling at her, and admire how great she still looks in her adventure-worn mage robes. What level did you reach in there?
42,
Gilly says as we enter the village perimeter.
Pretty much halfway, but I can't wait to try out this bow. We need to go find some place for me to level up some more. I gotta hit 80.
I laugh at her enthusiasm.
Me too. Still 8 levels away from max. If you're planning to use that bow, you'll need to learn how to shoot too, little lady,
Rembrandt says, twirling one of his pistols.
I could probably give you a hand with that.
I'm puzzled at that one. Can she learn a new skill like that? I don't think bow use is normally part of a mage class, is it? Rembrandt shrugs.
This is still the real world. A lot of the game's constraints don't apply here like they do in the Shards. You can gain skills by doing things. You just won't have any special abilities to back them up. Not unless you earn some extra ability slots.
Ability slots? What are those?
Once you hit 85, you can use your XP to buy them. Then you can slot in abilities from other classes you have.
Ah, Gilly says. Like cross-class abilities.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool indeed. I ponder over being able to use power attack as a ninja. That would be awesome.
I wonder if I level up Ranger and Celestial Mage if I can unlock Arcane Archer,
Gilly says.
That's a class?
I ask. She nods.
An advanced class? I guess I won't be able to do it here, though, since I can't switch classes.
That's the main benefit of the shards, Rembrandt says.
He waves to a few villagers as we pass by.
It's like a prep area. A training ground for the real thing.
I laugh.
A few days ago, I thought going up against a world boss was the highlight of all existence. Now I'm finding out it was just the tutorial.
Both Gilly and Rembrandt laugh at that. We approach the village center, and I spot Wilbur seated on his bench. He waves to us as we approach.
How did things go?
Success, I say, and shake hands with him. We cleared the mines. Wilbur gives us a smile, revealing his half-missing teeth.
That's great news. I knew you could do it. Maybe we could send a few men down there in the morning to get things set up for production.
Do you wish to link Brook Run Village to Brook Run Mines? Y. N. Sounds like a plan, I say.
You have linked Brook Run Mines. Mine administration now available in Brook Run Village.
I see an option to assign a mine administrator. Honestly, I can think of no better person to manage the place than Gilly, but I've got that nasty hole to consider first.
Wilbur, there's a dangerous shaft in the main chamber at the bottom of the mines. Could you see to sealing that up first?
Good call, mate, Rembrandt says.
I'll see to it the men know,
Wilbur says. Thanks, I say.
And have you seen our companions? Are they back from the forest yet?
For some time now, yes. They replenished our wood stores quite quickly. I believe they're in the common hall. We'll bring by a nice meal now that you've returned.
I check the wood supply and see that Maxis and Val Helena have added over 1,000 units. I absently wonder how many trees that equates to. Thanks, Wilbur.
Thank you, my friends. Is there anything else?
I ponder for a moment, and then look to Gilly and Rembrandt.
You guys go on ahead. I have to do a bit of town admin to get the mine up and running.
Fair enough, mate,
Rembrandt says.
Let's go, Gills.
I smile at the new pet name Rembrandt's given her. He's a pretty swell guy.
Don't stay too long,
Gilly says, and gives me a quick peck on the cheek. I wait for them to depart before I turn back to Wilbur. That shaft I mentioned, before you seal it, can you construct a means to get safely to the bottom? A ladder or stairs or something?
Anything is possible, Wilbur says. Plus, we have plenty of wood now. Let me know what you decide.
A new set of options flash upon my HUD. 1. Construct ladder access. 300 wood, 300 labor. 2. Construct stair access. 500 wood, 500 labor. Wow. More expensive than I thought. Those 1,000 units of wood could go toward building the perimeter wall for safety, or a lot of other things. I'm still not certain how important going down there will be, but if it comes to it, having an easy means of access, or even exit, could be crucial. Okay, I'll go for the stairs, I say, and 500 units of wood get committed as the project goes into the production queue.
What type of ore is in those mines anyway, Wilbur?
When we last mined it, there was coal and iron.
That's a good combination. From my mining days, I know that those can be used to craft steel. I check the cost for building a forge.
Forge. 100 wood, 200 stone, 100 coal, 500 labor.
I set that as the next item on the to-do list.
Can you see about building a forge next, Wilbur?
Wilbur pauses a moment.
I can. But with two big projects like this, you might want to consider hiring a foreman or two. You can have both jobs happen at the same time, then.
Oh? Promote a foreman. Requires 10 workers, 1 gold. I check my gold from my trade with Blacktop. I have 7 coins. I hand 2 over to Wilbur.
Okay, make it happen, Wilbur. And thanks.
He nods.
Thank you, young master. I look forward to seeing this village thrive again.
Me too, Wilbur.
Me too.
I sprint away and catch up to Gilly and Rembrandt before they reach the common hall.
That was fast,
Gilly says as I rejoin them. I shrug with a smile.
Not like we have too many options on the build queue thus far. Besides, I'm eager to tell Val about Iko.
I imagine she's going to be pretty shocked,
Gilly says. Although it probably pales in comparison to what I saw down in the mines, it's still a surprising development. Whether it will change our plans any is still yet to be seen. And up to Val Helena, I suppose. As we approach the hall, I can hear Val Helena's big goddess laugh booming through the door. When Rembrandt swings it open, I see Val Helena and Maxis seated together at one of the tables at the back. Val is still laughing and slapping my brother's forearm as he cracks a grin. When they see us, Maxis stiffens a little, losing his smile, while Val Helena stifles her laugh to a chuckle.
Oh, you're back, she says with a feint of surprise. Nice to see you guys are all in one piece,
and quite a few levels higher, huh, Gilly?
Yeah,
Gilly says, sharing a quick glance with me, no doubt recalling both our near-death experiences.
Was easy peasy, just like you said.
And she got some great new gear, too, I add.
That she can wear at level 80, mind you,
Gilly adds with a grin. We join them at the table, and Val Helena stands to serve us some cold water from a silver pitcher.
Sounds good. We spotted a new hunting ground for you two while we were out in the forest.
Oh, yeah? I say. To the west, Maxis says. He eases back just a tad as Val Helena reaches across him to pour a glass for Rembrandt. If you follow the river, there's a big meadow with level 60 buffalo roaming around. Would be perfect for you, Gilly, especially if you duo.
Duo?
I say.
You mean you actually trust us to go out there alone?
He huffs out a laugh.
Your mentor here convinced me it would probably be okay, now that the goblins have been eliminated. Plus, it'll be faster leveling for Gilly.
I can't disagree with that.
We also have some news for you too, Val. But you might want to sit down for it.
Val Helena halts mid-pour and arches a brow at me.
What's up?
I wait for her to sit, but when she doesn't and only continues to stare, I just tell her.
Iko is here.
Her face drops into a stunned daze, and she nearly drops the pitcher of water as well.
What? On the way to the mines, we stop by a trader near here,
Rembrandt says.
Fella named Blacktop. He's from the Shards, too. He said she dropped by his place last night and traded in her katanas, among other things.
Val Helena falls back in her chair, her eyes staring into space, perplexed. I probably know more than anyone else as to why. I pat her hand softly.
Hey, if you need some time to go digest this.
She snaps her head to me, as if surprised to find me sitting there.
Yeah, maybe.
The giantess gets up to leave. Maxis gets up with her.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, I'm
fine,
she says, and presses on a smile.
I just need a minute.
An uncomfortable silence descends as she leaves the table and wanders out of the common hall. Then I notice everyone staring at me.
What?
I say. Gilly lets out a sigh.
Geez, you really are slow. Go make sure she's okay, Reese.
Huh?
She obviously needs to talk about it,
Gilly says.
But she can't with all of us here. So go. You know her the best.
Yeah, go, mate.
And don't make it worse. Maxis warns me.
Okay, okay,
I say as they chase me away from the table. I gingerly creep toward the door and ease it open. I find Val Helena outside, but she's not on the roof this time. She's sitting on the floor, leaning against the cabin instead. Her knees are pulled up to her chest the same way, though. She stares at the ground, and I can see that her face is wet with tears. I approach her slowly, then stop before I get too close.
Sorry about dropping a bomb on you like that, I say. Maybe I should have done it in private.
She shakes her head and then looks up at me.
I totally didn't expect this, Reese.
I take that as a cue to join her and slide down next to Val Helena, leaning against the cabin wall.
Why do you think she came?
I honestly have no idea.
I hope she's not here to try to stop me again. I hadn't considered that. Or maybe I've been wrong about her, she says, looking to the ground. Maybe I've been wrong about a lot of things. I let a pause linger between us for a moment. Why wasn't she with us when we transported to the surface? Valhelena shrugs. She did exit the decision room before us. Maybe she transferred first. I didn't really have a chance to see how many disks were there when we arrived. Disks? When we materialize, there's a base that gets printed first. We were each standing on one. I think back, and I do recall seeing an empty disk next to Gilly. I think you're right. She must have gotten here before us. I remember seeing her disk, and with her stealth, she probably got past the dogs a lot easier than we did. I really don't know what to think, Valhelena says. It'd be totally unlike her to come back here. Will this change anything, I ask, about what we need to do? That depends on her. Did the guy say where she was headed? I shake my head. Just that she left early this morning. Valhelena considers it a moment more. I just can't tell with her anymore. I don't know whether she's friend or foe. You really think she might try to attack us out here? I'd hope not, but... She turns to me. Let's just hope not. Another pause falls between us, and I have the urge to tell Valhelena about what I saw in the mines. Now isn't the right time, though. She's already overloaded with this. I wouldn't want to drop even more on her. She'd be in the same conundrum as me, then, torn between putting her need to save her friend over the goal of saving Citadel. Maybe it's best if I keep it to myself for now, at least until we get through with saving Becky. Hiding a secret like this is a hard thing to do, but I'm doing it for the right reason. Aren't I? I wrap my arm around Valhelena's thick torso and give her a squeeze. Hey, this changes nothing, Val. We're still going to save Becky. Maybe Iko's come to help us. She chuckles as she hugs me about the shoulders, pulling me close. You think so? Look, tomorrow, Gilly and I are going to head out there and level like never before. We'll be underway in no time, and maybe Iko will be waiting for us when we get there. Valhelena smiles as she looks down at me. I hope you're right, Rhys. She looks away again, lost in thought. I really hope you're right. Chapter 12. The Board. The board meeting had gone on for far too long. Bruce Peters stared at his colleagues one by one, seated around the conference room table, starting with Dennis. The software engineer addressed the other three members of the board, who were all listening intently to his presentation about when he predicted the nano reserves would eventually run dry, and what would take place when they did. The nanoprocessors will be the first systems to go down. They'll be limited to water and simple foods only. Once they fail, auxiliary systems will begin to shut down, including waste handling, recycling, and the like. Then air purification. And once that happens, that will be it. My estimations stand at around 4 months from now.
This is unacceptable, Martha Kirkwood said, flustered. Why were things allowed to get like this?
The plump, middle-aged woman in charge of the education system gave her usual useless contribution to the conversation, laying blame. It irked Bruce to no end.
No one has allowed anything, Bruce said, leveling his eyes at her. We've been struggling like this since before my predecessor. It is what it is.
Bob Schultz, who managed the economy, shook his head dismissively.
I told you a year ago that this plan was unsustainable.
You knew?
Martha said. Bob, a man in his 50s with a bald head and a thin, wiry frame, simply rolled his eyes at Martha.
I'm only sorry the rest of you have to find out now.
The rest,
said Dr. Evelyn Monroe, a young black woman in her 30s with short, stylish hair, who was head of the medical center.
More like just the two of us. I hope it wasn't because we're women.
Bruce felt like telling her to grow up, but enough arguments had been had here tonight.
It simply did not affect your areas before. Now it does. That's all.
Evelyn sat back in her chair, crossing her arms with a scowl on her face. She wasn't buying it for a second. But Bruce couldn't waste the energy to care at the moment.
We can't do another